Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 13th of July, recording at 8:12 p.m. British Summer Time. First, the highlights. Stock markets still very, very firm. And government bonds still slipping pretty well around the globe. There's a connect there, and there's also a future cause and effect, quite possibly. Now, elsewhere, that US dollar, I pointed out those downward dynamics that we saw yesterday by the dollar. Well, it's rebounded pretty strongly in here today, but I'm just putting up the chart of the dollar index. Well, it hasn't quite offset the dynamic downwards that we saw yesterday. But it's neutralized the downward impetus for the very short term. We closed at 89.38. Now, as I say, we did get a break of the short-term uptrend. That was about 2.5 months, just over 2.5 months old. And today's move upwards would be a rally back to that trend. I think that I wouldn't be at all surprised to see a little bit of upside follow-through starting off tomorrow morning. Obviously, plenty of dollar bulls still around, judging from that price action, and the interest rate cycle does favor them right now. But the performance is mixed. The index has rallied more than it might have because of the heavy weighting in terms of the euro. I'm just putting this up. Here continues to trade after hours. So here, well, now it's a similar story. The not surprisingly, given that 57% plus weighting in the dollar index, the beg your pardon, the euro has not the euro's decline today has not quite offset its gains of yesterday, but they're also it's really almost a mirror image of that dollar index chart. Okay, upside down mirror image. Now, what else to mention? That's pretty much it. So let me get back to the stock market cycle here. First, as you'll know from comment, if you had a chance to look at it, I was delighted to see Chris Roberts return. He's an old friend, and more importantly, he's one of the world's most experienced technicians. And I missed his breakout report, and I know a number of you missed the breakout report. He'd gone off to the Bahamas to work for a hedge fund for a while, but clearly that didn't quite match the excitement of that Hong Kong environment. Particularly at CLSA, which, from the reports I see, I just think is a hive of analytical productivity. So he's back, and there's an interesting comment on there, again pointing out the strength in these markets, these Asian markets, but saying that some of these rallies are getting a bit overextended. But have a look at the report. I won't try to. Try to paraphrase what he said. It's well worth the read. Now, I wanted to say something also about that very, very fine article, I thought, which I posted today. It's near the end of the section, "Will the Peacock Outdo the Panda?" I won't try to pronounce the Indian author's name. Now, I think with some readers might say, well, let's take a somewhat cynical view because, after all, this is an Indian academic economist here writing this article. So is he likely to be biased? Well, we can't say no, but I thought it was a very even-handed, objective bit of research. I thought it was absolutely terrific, and not just because I happen to agree with it, which would be a lack of objectivity on my part, but just the way he's laid out the case. I think these are all outstanding points that he makes, and as I said in comment, some of them will be familiar to veteran subscribers. But the thing I wanted to say about that is that while the Indian stock market looks overextended to me on the upside, the Chinese stock market actually looks overextended to me on the downside. But I'm not tempted by it for reasons that I've mentioned previously. Also, I don't like communist capitalism, as you know. Well, that's one of the main reasons that I've mentioned. But I do feel that the Indian story is so much better. Now, really, if I didn't have such a bullish long-term outlook on India, I would almost certainly be pulling out my J.P. Morgan Fleming India Trust position, booking the profit, in other words. And a very big profit it is, as you probably are aware. And I'm absolutely delighted that a number of you hold it or similar vehicles. Now, I'm not going to do it, so I'm sticking to my game plan, which is that I won't sell that unless it does something really ludicrous on the upside. What we've seen is just a very good run, which looks to me to be temporarily overextended. But I think it's so important in investment and trading. Well, the trading is usually my bread and butter source and funds the lifestyle. I basically what I'm saying is I make my living from the markets, but from time to time the markets make their living, or somebody in the markets makes their living from me. In other words, you get things wrong, and my trading has been a disappointment to me since I got out of hospital. But I'm sure everything will be fine when I get back from my cycling holiday. I look forward to it, both to the cycling holiday and to getting back. But not to digress too much in here, it's very important to have some really big theme ideas that happen to be correct. Obviously, they have to be correct. And I think that two that I've stressed so much over the last couple of years or more are really the Asian emerging market theme, specifically India, and the supply and elasticity theme, and especially energy. Now, those are the two really, really important big themes that I've had, and with luck they will. That isn't, it's never a matter of luck in this type of situation, but I expect and hope that they remain the big themes for really quite some time. In other words, they will have a lot of additional potential to fill. Of the two, India's possibly the best. And I think it's one of those situations where if the governance remains reasonably sound, so that India continues to reduce corruption, continues to reduce red tape, that the left wing, the old Gandhi type and the old pseudo-communist types, increasingly realize how much enormous potential India has. If they just make India an exceptionally good place to do business. Now, if they do that, I think the amount of FDI that they will attract, the foreign direct investment, of course, will be absolutely enormous. And I think the talents unleashed will just make that country boom. And possibly boom like no other country. I'm not going to review all my points and why I think it's a better story than China. Well, gee heavens, just read the good article. That pretty well summarizes it all and more. So what I'm really saying is that India could be one of those situations that we're now on a 20-year view makes a pile of money for us. Now, it has that potential. That doesn't mean it'll deliver it, because, good heavens, we don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow, let alone 20 years down the road. But it has that potential. It's the most exciting situation, I think, that I've seen probably in my investment lifetime. And that's saying a lot, because I go back nearly 40 years. Okay, moving smartly on here. The bond markets, global bond markets, continuing to sort of roll over, erode support, and this applies to the lot, the JGBs, the US Treasuries, the Australian bonds, the UK gilts, the Euro bunds. Those are the ones that I keep a reasonably close eye on. And you know what a feeding frenzy we'd had in bonds up until recently. So I again, they all look like shorts to me. I am short. I've got a moderate sized short position in US Treasuries, which is, I think, modestly in the money right now. And I've got a JGB position, which I haven't checked it, but it may be about square now. But the important thing is that if we continue to retrace gains seen earlier in the year, then eventually those rising long-term interest rates are likely to put some pressure on stock markets. At the moment, it's having the opposite effect, in that some money's coming out of bonds and going into equities. That's the classic format. But if the long-dated bonds continue to rise, and I appreciate that. Given what's happened this year and given the various different views on this subject, that may seem a pretty big if. But the point is, to leave you with on this subject, is that if those bond prices continue to weaken, yields continue to increase, and if we get back down to the lows that we saw earlier in the year, let alone below those levels, I think that really would start to take a toll of stock markets, which remain in what is seasonally not that attractive a period. Have a look at what Chris Roberts has to say about that. Now, in terms of the currency here, I don't know what to add really, except to just to repeat that one point that the dollar was strong enough today to neutralize, check the slide that we saw occurring yesterday. Doesn't mean that the dollar is going to go racing back up to test its highs, but again, it was strong enough to certainly encourage the dollar bulls. And a move like this couldn't have happened unless there were still plenty of them around. So we may see a little struggle here in the markets over the short term. My hunch is that the dollar has more downside than upside from here, despite this factor, which may prop it up for a while longer, that the interest rate cycle is clearly favorable. And also, the alternatives are hardly inspiring among the main reserve currencies, taking the yen, which has no yield, and the euro, which, say, remains an experimental currency. And looking at the precious metals, well, they slipped a little bit, not surprisingly, with the dollar rallying. Gold 424.35, that's not down much. Platinum 872.8, down at nearly $2. Silver down a little bit. 7055 on the September contract. I like these precious metals, but they're going to mostly range until or unless we see that dollar come off a bit more sharply or more persistently. Mixed picture in the industrial metals. Bit of a rally in soybeans. Again, I maintain that those grains and beans look cheap at these levels. And last but not least, I said we'd had some good gains in the European stock markets, and the Dow looks like it'll go out today. Well, it should go out today with gains, but we're currently up 40 on the Dow, but only 123 on the S&P, and less than a point on the NASDAQ composite. So the NASDAQ composite's lagging. Were that to close down in here today, I think that would be another little warning that the US market is a bit overextended. And that's pretty much it, so I'll just say all the best.